continuing really in Orach Chaim over here, not really in Yeradeya. We're going to bring it back to Yeradeya. So we started to discuss yesterday Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and whether the principles of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni are translatable from Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos to Hilchos Tarovis, whether Tom transfers. Question ready? No question? You had that look in your eye like someone asked a question. Okay. So let's quickly chazer over what we said yesterday. There is a Yerushalmi where the Yerushalmi has this cryptic line, and the poskim all quote this Yerushalmi over here, that where the Yerushalmi tells us that asu harchakal l'kli rishon v'lo asu harchakal l'kli sheni. So what does that mean? So it might not mean that the entire din of kli rishon shelo al gabe eishes drabanan, but it might yes mean that. Meaning asu harchakal l'kli rishon might mean that Kli Rishon that's Bishul D'Oraisa is only when the Kli Rishon is Al Gabe Eish, but Shalo Al Gabe Eish Asur Chaka. They made Al Chaka Kli Rishon Shalo Al Gabe Eish. Did the Rabbanon that's Mevashel as well? But it might not mean that. It could be that what the Yerushalmi is telling us is that a Kli Rishon even Shalo Al Gabe Eish is Bishul D'Oraisa, but only if it's Yatzoledes, because anything under Yatzoledes is a nothing. Asu archak of mitra abundant, so it's in the Kli Rishon shal gabe eish, and is below Yad Soledes, that they said is going to be aser. In fact, the Shach and Sivkot and Hay quotes the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal and Perches and Menayin Aleph, that the Yerushalmi forbids Kli Rishon that's al gabe eish afilu im ein ayad soledes. Right, that's how the Marshal understood the Yerushalmi, that even below Yad Soledes, if it's al gabe eish, then that's going to be a violation of Bishul. The Shach disagrees. He says, what are you talking about? Below Yad Soledes is an absolute zero. There can't be anything below Yad Soledes. Pischei Tshuva quotes in the name of the Beis Yaakov, a fascinating footnote. Pischei Tshuva says that the Tshuva's Beis Yaakov in Simchav writes that he had a conversation with the Shach about this. That he saw what the Shach wrote, that it's nothing if it's below Yatzoledes, and he argued with the Shach, and he showed him that the Marshal is correct, and he brought rise that the Marshal is correct, and he said, and the Shach admitted that I'm right. So where does that leave you? You know, if like you have you know, someone will say, I know the Chazon Ish Shita is that way, but I asked him, and I convinced him, and he said at the end, okay, you're right. So now do you assume that he's right? So you always have to know, you know, not everyone knows how to read, you know, the other party that they're talking to. Sometimes you're talking to a gadol who has a shita. He's decided that shita when he was holding in the sugya. So you're bringing him raya's right now, you know, and he sees that you're not giving up. So he says, okay, ooh, it's a good point, okay. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was chozerbo, and he didn't correct it in any further printings of the shach. So we assume that the shach means it. Then there is this other Yerushalmi that ein luchas bishul barer el ksheish halachas tachtav, that maybe means that Bishul D'Oraisa is only al gabe eish, but we pointed out that the Gras says it's not what the Yerushalmi means. That what it means is that the only time you have real Bishul is when there was once a fire associated, when it had some sheichus to a fire, as opposed to something that has no connection to fire whatsoever, then it wouldn't be Bishul on a D'Oraisa level. But something that was once on the fire and is now off the fire, it's not presently on the fire, that would still be Bishul D'Oraisa. That's how the Gra understands. So the Archa Shulchan points out, we said yesterday, that it seems that the Rambam learned the Yerushalmi to be saying this idea that there's a difference between Kli Rishon Al Gabe Eish and Kli Rishon Shalo Al Gabe Eish, because when the Rambam spoke about Kli Rishon Shalo Al Gabe Eish, he put it together with all the dinim derabbanan, right? That's what we saw yesterday. And then we pointed out that, so that's one explanation of why it is that Kli Sheni should be any different than Kli Rishon. Meaning, if Kli Sheni is really hot, why can't it be Mevashel? Because Bishul may be defined not by heat alone, but also by proximity to fire, by connection to the fire. And Al Gabe Eish means Bishul, Shalo Al Gabe Eish might be Bishul Midrabanan, and Kli Sheni might not even be Drabanan. Lo Asu Archakal Kli Sheni. That's that understanding of the Yerushalmi. Then we pointed out Tosfos and Masechta Shabbos has a different understanding of why Kli Sheni is Einam Avashel. And Tosfos talks about the intensity of the heat and the Dofnei HaKadera cooling down the, I mean, if you had a thermometer in that liquid the entire time, you would see a precipitous decline in temperature as soon as it's poured into a Kli Sheni, because the cool walls of the Kli Sheni will right away start working on cooling it down. So since it's going in that direction, the intensity of the heat is not the same, but instead of attaching, you know, some sort of complicated cheshbon of temperature versus time and how long it is, so that's it. They just made a cliche. Is Einam Avashel, but it is based on the metzius in terms of the decline in the temperature. And then what we closed with yesterday is we said that there is a third approach to why cliche is Einam Avashel, that it's maybe just not derech bishel, though. When it comes to defining bishel in melachas machshavas and melachas Shabbos, you need melachas machshavas, you need the definition, something that meets the criteria of bishel. So it's not describing a metzius, it's describing that which is the malacha as was done in the Mishkan. And if it's not the derech of bishel as it was done in the Mishkan, all the blios in the world could be transferring back and forth, and it's irrelevant because it doesn't strictly meet that criteria of bishel. Question?
Yeah, for the final answer, right, of not derech bishel, do we say derech bishel asa Torah by all
Tarovas?
Yeah.
No, only by Vasa B'chala.
Only
by Vasa B'chala. Yeah. Okay, and then,
in terms of it cooling down, Tosfos' answer, right? If we consider cooking being Yatzoledes Bo, so it's still going to be Yatzoledes Bo, even if...
So that's what I was saying. It's not only Yatzoledes, it's Yatzoledes with the intensity of a Kli Rishon. I mean, it has to be Yatzoledes that's a sustainable Yatzoledes. But if it's not a sustainable Yatzoledes, then it's a weaker form of it's not even cooking. So based on these three mahalchim, and this is what we closed with yesterday. Another one, yeah.
How is the Yerushalmi different from the derech bishel definition?
How is the Yerushalmi different? Yerushalmi is about it's similar, but meaning Yerushalmi is about is more focused on whether it's eish or not. But kli rishon shalal gabei eish might still be derech bishel. But Kli Sheni is just totally unusual. Who would ever cook anything in Kli Sheni? I'll tell you how it's different. We'll say it like this. What if something is derech bishel in a Kli Sheni? What if it's normal to cook something in a Kli Sheni? Where do you ever have something that's normal to cook in a Kli Sheni?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, okay. I don't make much mac and cheese, but tea, no? Right? It's normal to make tea in a Kli Sheni. Who makes tea in a Kli Rishon? You boil up the water and then you pour it into a cup and then you dip the tea bag in. That's the standard way to make tea. So if you say that it's all about proximity to the eish, well, it's still very far removed from the eish. But if it's all about what's called the derech bishel, is this a normal way to cook it? So then, yeah, it's a very normal way to cook the tea. L'chora. Tea is a complicated sugya. I don't want to really get so far into that right now.
Kli Rishon Kali on eish or on yatzoledes? If it was on eish, but not yatzoledes, what would we call that?
So that's a Kli Rishon, but it's not Mevashel. Unless you hold like that Marshal that the Shach quotes. I mean, the Shach quotes Marshal, then if it's a Kli Rishon, Al Gabe Eish, but even though it's below Yatzoledes, it's still able to be Mevashel. But the Shach thinks that's off the wall. When do we ever have anything below Yatzoledes? It's Mevashel. So it's a combination of the two. That's probably even a Metzius. Yeah, that's even a Metzius. I mean, the Kli Rishon may be about a Din or about a Metzius, depending on whether you hold like Tosfos or Yerushalmi or whatever. But the Yatzoledes, that's probably just straight Metzius. Okay, so now carrying this over to our discussion, according to the Yerushalmi, that Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabei Eish is only Midrabanan, so it would not make any sense to say that Kali HaBishul get cooked in a Kli Sheni. Meaning Kali HaBishul should be no different. There's no Eish. So Kali HaBishul should also be not Bishul. When the Mishnah said Kali HaBishul and Kli Sheni are Aser, the Yerushalmi never said Chayiv. Yerushalmi said Aser Mitrabanan. Only the Bavli says you're Chayiv for Kali HaBishul and a Kli Sheni. So the Yerushalmi probably learns that it's Nisad Rabbanan. Or maybe even the Yerushalmi holds it's Chayiv, but not Mishum Bishul. It could be that it's a different Malacha. What would the malacha be if it's not Mishum Bishel? If he makes it. Makah b'patish. That's always the one. Whenever you don't know, that's the one to guess. Makah b'patish. In fact, there's a Yerushalmi like that also that describes the malach of makah b'patish. How are you magdir makah b'patish? So Yerushalmi says that malachas of Shabbos were not defined, and Rav Asher Weiss likes to quote this as his electricity tshuva, that malachas of Shabbos is not defined by taking the malachas and then studying what's included within each malacha, which is what we normally do. No, Chazal knew all the things that were asid. And then they took the 39 categories and said, okay, where do I put this one? This activity, I'll put that in the Borer box. And this activity, ironically, this activity I'll put in the Bishel box. And this activity I'll put in, and they associated each one. And whenever they couldn't come up with, you know, it didn't fit any of the other known categories, Makom B'Patish, that goes in the Makom B'Patish category. Meaning if it was a creative act, if it was something significant, that had to be Asar and Shabbos, but it didn't seem to fit any category, okay, it's Makom B'Patish. So it could be the Yerushalmi understands it's Makom B'Patish, but that assumes that there's such an Inyan called Makom B'Patish Ba'ochlin, which is Chiddush, that there's such an Inyan called Makom B'Patish Ba'ochlin. Be'er Halacha thinks it's impossible that there's something called Makom B'Patish Ba'ochlin. Rav Sobolovsky pointed out that it might be the Ferish of Gemara that there is Makom B'Patish Ba'ochlin, because the Gemara Maseches Beitza says that when you're being Mafresh Shumas HaMaisus, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because it's Mechzi K'Mesakin. It looks like you're being Mesakin the Ochel. So what? I'm being masak in the ochel. So what? It looks, I mean, presumably, because it looks like I'm doing something bad that I'm not allowed to do. I'm not cooking. What am I doing? Oh, so it must be, it's mechzik and masakin, and that's going to be a violation of makom b'patish. So you see, even by trumas ma'isos, which is ochlin, you do have an inyan of makom b'patish. According to Tosfos, right, our second mahalich, that is about the intensity of the heat, there's no halacha that bishul can't happen without fire. It's just that normal foods need an intensity of heat to affect bishul as well, meaning it's a metzius issue. And it's logically possible that some foods could even get cooked with defunos makaros in a klisheni if the foods are very easy to cook. I mean, the concept of kalei bishul makes a lot of sense, and a klisheni mechayev midoraisa for bishul. According to the last approach, that derech bishul is what determines that it's all about derech bishul. So you might say that a klisheni is never derech bishul, or you might say, no, there are certain things that it's normal to cook in a klisheni, like we said, that and therefore maybe that would become bishul d'oraisa, and that's the difference between number one and number three. So there is a major machlokas achronim also. Once we're on the topic of kalei bishul, because this is going to be relevant also, what's considered kalei bishul? What's considered a food that is very easily cooked? So it's clear from various sugyas in Masechta Shabbos: water, oil, spices, bistra datura, ox meat. Those things are most decidedly not kalei bishul. They cannot be cooked in a klisheni. They will not physically be cooked in a klisheni, and therefore may be cooked in a klisheni, right? When I say cannot, I mean they physically don't get cooked in a klisheni, and therefore it's not a problem to put them in a klisheni.
All spices and all meaning.
Oh, so spices we'll get to in a second. But yeah, that's what the Gemara says. The tavlin is in the category of something that is not kalei bishul. Now the Rambam is quoted by the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Yud Ches, where he says, V'lav dafka elu, it doesn't have to be only these things. Something that's very dak verach biyoser. Amazingly, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are machmir even for bread being kalei bishul. Meaning, why nafkamina that bread is kalei bishul? Why is this a huge nafkamina for our Shabbos tables? Because we're putting challah in the soup, right? If bread is kalei bishul, and kalei bishul can get cooked in a klisheni, and your soup bowl is a klisheni, when your soup bowl is hot, when it's above yatsa lettuce, you should not be allowed to put the challah in the soup. Oh, so that's why it's amazing that they're machmir for that. Because there's so many sfeikos over here. Right? There's bishul acharafia. Maybe it's not really kalei bishul. Who said it's kalei bishul? But they assume that it's kalei bishul, and it's working with the assumption that the Mishnah Berurah has that yesh bishul acharafia. The Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that that spices nowadays are not spices that they were talking about. Nowadays, when you buy spices, they're already ground up very finely, and those get cooked very, very easily. Those are for sure Kalei Abishal, says Shlomo Zalman. Now, the Yireyim in Siman Reish Ayin Dalid writes as follows. He writes, Hilkoch Yizahir Adam, Shlo Lahachnis B'Shabbos Shum Davar B'Kli Sheini. What does Yireyim say? Everything you have to assume is Kalei Abishal. Unless you know, unless it's on the list of items that are not Kalei Abishal, you assume it is Kalei Abishal.
It's a massive problem for chicken system, saying the oil is not, you could just, yeah, right, you take it out of the clean shum, put it into a cliche, and then bring it to the table, and then people adjust for taste with either a salt shaker or a pepper.
Right, so you have somebody sniffing. Because first of all, people usually don't take it straight from the pot and pour it in. They use a ladle. So you have kaf, right? So kaf is its own discussion, whether a kaf is... Right, so whether a kaf is considered cliche in Yunus, that's its own discussion, because that's one sniff lahakel. Then you have the possibility that ein bishalach harafiya, right? That's ein afiya, ein bishalach harafiya. So that's the second sniff lahakel. Then you have the possibility that bread is not really kalei abishal. Right, meaning when you put all the stuff from the hakel together, you probably have plenty of room to be makel. And also, a lot of times when you put the bread in the soup, it's also not yatzal lettuce anymore. Even if it was yatzal lettuce when it first came out, sometimes at the time you're putting, because a lot of times people don't put bread in right away. Some people do, but a lot of times people wait till the very end. Whatever can't get on the spoon, it'll soak up with the bread. By then, it's not even hot, right? It's not. There's no shayla bichlal at that point. So that's the sheet of the Yireyim. Mishabura and Rosh Hashanah Zalman say that we paskin like the Yireyim, that you have to treat all food, assume that they might be they might get cooked in a klisheni, they might be kalei abishal. I think our Rebbeim and Yeshiva do not assume that way. We assume like the other sheetos that kalei abishal, kalei abishal is the exception. It's not the rule. So to just naturally assume that everything is kalei abishal is a big chiddush, and that is the sheet of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, I'll bring you a clear raya, says the Chazon Ish. There's no discussion of kalei abishal in Yerideya. Meaning this whole discussion we're carrying over from Hilchos Shabbos to Yerideya. How do we miss kalei abishal? Well, why aren't there blios for those things that are kalei abishal? Elamai, it's a big chumrah, it's not really mikra adin. Even Hilchos Shabbos is not really mikra adin, that things are going to be kalei abishal. And at least as far as the assumption that all things are kalei abishal, certainly not mikra adin. So other achronim suggest that kalei abishal is a real din, but only in Hilchos Shabbos, not in Hilchos Tarovis. But again, that assumes that we're working with two different sets of rules. And Hilchos Shabbos has its rules, and Hilchos Tarovis has its rules. That's what the Nadi Biyuda writes in the Madura Tinyana Yerideya Simen Samach, that it's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos, not a din in Hilchos Tarovis. So lemaisa. What are we passing as far as kalei abishal? So many poskim assume, like the Chazon Ish, that only food that you know from the Gemara to be kalei abishal, you know, let it from a klisheni. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather used to make tea in a klisheni. So with the argument that tea for sure is not kalei abishal. What do you mean tea for sure is not kalei? I would think if anything is kalei abishal, it would be tea. So they said, what do you mean? No, it's for sure. It's a tavlin. Tavlin is for sure not kalei abishal. So all tea does is it gives a little bit of flavor to the water. It adds no mamashos whatsoever. It's the definition of a tavlin. So it's got to be not kalei abishal. Ah, but if you say like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, if it's ground up so finely, so then it's going to become kalei abishal. That's true. That when you cut up something that's not kalei abishal to very small pieces, that all of a sudden it becomes kalei abishal. So it's a tavlin. And therefore, you don't have to assume that it's a cliche. I asked Rav Shechter once which of the Rav's grandfathers is. I mean, they were both Gaonim Atzumim, right? But you know, Rav Chaim is Rav Chaim. So Rav Elia Prajna was also Gaon Olam, Rav Elia Feinstein. So I think Rav Shechter told me both, that both of the Rav's grandfathers held that you're allowed to make tea in a cliche. That you can make tea in a cliche.
Raya against Rav
Shlomo. Yeah, yeah. Well, not a Raya. They held differently.
Saying, right.
Yeah, they held differently. Yeah. Yeah. Now, so the again, most poskim, many poskim, Mishabur does not hold that Chazanish. Mishabur says you do have to be choshesh, everything is kalei abishal, but Chazanish holds that you don't have to be choshesh, everything is kalei abishal. Yeah.
What are the foods that are mentioned?
That are kalei abishal. Yeah, so these dagim katanim, these small fish, What else does the Gemara mention? Other things? I don't remember. What else? I don't know.
Eggs,
right. It says eggs are kavod initial, right. The Gemara says. Yeah. So it would turn out that only foods, according to the Chazon Ish, only foods that we know from the Gemara to be kavod initial are asur to put in a klisheni. All other foods are mutter. So you would be allowed to put, like, let's say, mint leaves in a klisheni because they're not kavod initial. An egg, right, is kavod initial. The Gemara mentions it. And cannot be put in a klisheni. Now, the Chazon Ish adds one more point. He points out that we paskin like the Chayyadim, Mishabur and Sivkad Memches, in Shin Yud Ches, quotes Chayyadim, that if the contents in a klisheni are so hot that they're Yad Nichvisbo, they're not just Yad Tzoledisbo, they're boiling hot, you'd burn your hand on it, then everyone agrees that it's hot enough to cook. So the Chazon Ish says that since we don't know the exact temperature of Yad Nichvisbo, we should be machmir on that, and not put any raw food in the klisheni. So the Chazon Ish just took away his entire kula. He felt like he got a major kula from the Chazon Ish. Oh, don't worry, not everything's kalei abishal. Then the Chazon Ish goes and says, yeah, but I'm not sure what yad nichvisbo is, so it could be that when you get your hot bowl of soup, it's yad nichvisbo. So lemaisa, according to the Chazon Ish, you can only be makel to add raw food soup klisheni if you are absolutely certain that it's not yad nichvisbo. Mishra Brura says that you could put cold liquids in a klisheni if the cold liquid was cooked before Shabbos. Because even though the Mishnah Berurah is machmir about putting uncooked foods in a klisheni, and we paskin that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach, but the Mishnah Berurah is at least going to be makel to be mitzarif the shitos. That since it's possible that really ain't bishel achar bishel afilu b'davar lach, that even something that's a liquid cannot get recooked, that it's not going to be recooked, so you put that sheet of the Rambam and the Rashba, the Rambam Shalach and Bishalach, but Davalach, together with the possibility of a klisheni, that a klisheni can only cook items that are explicitly mentioned in the Gemara, and then you can be makel. Right. And then we said there is a discussion about a kaf. What about a ladle? On the one hand, it's totally immersed in the kli rishon. On the other hand, it is a cliche. It is a second kli, just by definition. It is a second kli. So if you stick the kaf in while the fire is still on, l'chora, there should be no question whatsoever. Right? Meaning the fire is still on under the soup pot, and then you put the ladle into the soup. Of course it's a kli rishon. Why, of course, is it a kli rishon?
It's a kli
ala esh with food in it. And it's on the fire. That's the very definition of a kli rishon. So that lechora, there's nothing to talk about. But that's not what happens on Shabbos. Meaning on Shabbos, you're not sticking a kaf in while it's still on the fire because you're worried about being magus, the keder, or whatever. You don't, even though with liquids, maybe that's less of a concern, but still, we don't do that on Shabbos. You always take it off of the fire first. So when it comes to a ladle, you have to assess what the issues are. So the truth is, most of this discussion happens in Bas Mechalev, but it's good to lay the groundwork now for what we're going to see in Siman Sadi Beis, Siman Sadi Dalid. All of this is going to come up over there. So the Chavis Das in Siman Sadi Beis in Yoredeya, in Sivkat Chav Zayin, views the ladle, whatever's in the ladle, like a dover gush, because there's no, the point of klisheni is that wall, defunus makaros, is that the walls will cool it down. So we're going to discuss dover gush soon, that you have something that's a solid, so the walls aren't going to cool it down because it doesn't really take the form of its walls. So ladle also, the walls won't cool it down because it's dipped into the kli rishon, so it doesn't have that advantage of defunus makaros. However, the Ramah in Siman Kuf Zayin holds that a kaf is a kli rishon as far as blios, but a davar gush is a klisheni, in a klisheni has the status of a klisheni, probably because the plate still partially does cool the davar gush. Meaning, if you had to determine what cools the food down more, the food that's put into a ladle that's stuck into the kli rishon, or the food that's put onto a plate, onto a dinner plate, but doesn't spread all over the plate, it just sits there like a clump on the plate, which food has been cooled down more? So clearly the food that's been put on a plate has cooled down more because it's actually hit a cold plate, it was placed on a cold plate, whereas the kaf went into the soup and got heated up by the soup and then schlepped out some soup with it. The Taz in Siman Sadi Beis in Yoredeya writes Kosov b'maril hilchos pesach, he quotes a maril v'magil al yidei iroi sheshovich harodchen al akli la'agilo Yizor she yishvo chamayim rotchun dafka min akli she bishluba v'nikra kli rishon. He says, if you're going to do iroi, you're going to kasher with iroi, make sure it's iroi from a kli rishon. And what does he mean by that? As opposed to what? What else would you do iroi from? V'al yishov min akli she bo harotchun bekli acher v'laros v'imena lahagil mishum dekli she shoi v'imo hu kli sheni. Meaning, what's he saying? The way to kasher with Eroi is not to boil a pot of water, stick a ladle in, and then pour it all out. Because the ladle is a kli sheni, it's not a kli rishon. V'nispatel bo bishul harotchin term shemagilan, achein im shoa es hakli sheshoa v'imo, toch hakli shemispashlin bo harotchin bo husham, malin amayim retichos, shapir miskari gamu kli kli rishon. He says the only exception would be is if you stick the ladle in and you wait till it comes to a boil. So now, like we said before, it's boiling in the ladle on the fire. So now it's for sure a kli rishon. Then you can kasher that way. But if you're just scooping out, says the Taz, it's a cliche. Right? So you have these shitos. Mishabrura is machmir, that it has a din of a kli rishon. However, the Mishabrura uses it as a sniff lakula when it comes to dipping challah in your soup. Right? He does use the ladle as a sniff lakula in bishlach ravia, and maybe it's really a kli shlishi, it's not a kli sheni, v'chule.
What's the difference between yad nekistel and yad tzeledes?
Yad tzeledes is much less. Yad tzeledes is something that it doesn't even mean that it's too hot to touch. It means that you would naturally recoil from it. Yad nechvesbal means if it goes in your hand, it will burn your skin. So it's a much higher temperature. In fact, the Mishabrua even adds another chiddush. He says that if a ladle has steam coming from it, you could see the steam rising from the ladle, then it's definitely a kli rishon. That's based on the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. We're not going to get into that right now. Okay, so that's as far as kli sheni. What about kli shlishi? So kli shlishi is never mentioned in Shas, which is surprising, because you would imagine that they had kli shlishi, that they sometimes pour things into a kli shlishi. So the Yerayim paskins that there's no difference between a kli sheni and kli shlishi, meaning kli sheni is not mevashel. So a kli sheni and anything below is not mevashel. I kalei abishel do get cooked in a kli sheni. Good. That just means it only needs heat. It doesn't need intensity to get cooked. Well, meaning if you say like Tosfos Vart, right, that what makes bishel happen is a combination of temperature and intensity. What's the vart of kalei abishel? That it can get cooked with the temperature without the intensity. And you could have that in a kli shlishi also. Right, so kli shlishi is also mevashel, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to put kalei abishel in kli shlishi either. That's what the Mishabrura is machmir for, right? That's why the Mishabrura doesn't allow you to make tea even in a kli shlishi. When I was growing up, we were always machmir for the Mishabrura in my house. We had tea essence that was made before Shabbos, and you poured it into a thing, and then you mixed it with water. But it was never, I remember the first time I was at someone else's house, and I saw them make tea in a kli shlishi. I was in Rav Simon's year, my early admissions year. And I was at someone's house, and they used kli shlishi to make tea. They brought a big tea thing out. I had not yet heard from Rav Shechter that Rav Salvechik's two grandfathers made it in kli sheni. They brought out the tea bags, the nice box of all the tea bags. And I was like stunned. I had never seen that before, because we're all a product of our upbringing. So I always thought that everyone's machmir for the Mishabrura. So I asked Rav Simon, like, can I eat at that house? He smiled and he said, maybe ask Rav Shechter what he thinks. He's trying to set me up. Then he said, no, it's okay. There are shittos that hold that it's okay. The Shmir Shabbos holds that a kli shlishi can only cook foods that are explicitly stated in the Gemara as being kalei abishel. Meaning, kli shlishi can cook kalei abishel, but what we're going to consider kalei abishel, we're going to be a lot more discerning. Meaning with a kli sheni, he says, I'm going to be machmir like the Mishabrura that everything's kalei abishel unless I know for sure it's not. But a kli shlishi, okay, we have a little more wiggle room in a kli shlishi. And Rav Moshe, famously in our Chaim Chelik Dalid, Siminayin Dalid, that long tshuva on bishel on Melech Shabbos that he wrote to Rabbi Eider, thank God for Rabbi Eider, right? We would not have had an easy access to all of Rav Moshe Shitas about Hilchos Shabbos if not for Rabbi Eider writing his sefer. Because Rabbi Eider collected, Zichrono Lebracha, Rabbi Eider is a graduate of our yeshiva. So not something he was particularly proud of, but he was a graduate of our yeshiva. So Rabbi Eider was a big posek in Lakewood, for those who don't know. He made this huge list of questions that he sent to Ramesha, and Ramesha wrote this long tshuva, it's printed in Aruch Chaim Chelek Daled, where like all of the shittos that we know from Ramesha, or many of them, come from that tshuva. So in that tshuva, Ramesha clarifies Rabbi Eider that he thinks a kli shlishi is not mvashal at all. Gemara doesn't mention it. Kli sheni can be mvashal kalei abishal. Kli shlishi does not have the capacity to be mvashal kalei abishal. Meaning, bishal is, like Tosa said, a combination of temperature and intensity, but then there's such a lack of intensity that no matter what the temperature, it's not going to be able to be mvashal, and that's what Ramesha recommended, making tea in a kli shlishi. Right, that's what Ramesha held. You make tea in a kli shlishi. You don't need the tea essence like the Mishnah Berurah says. Now in Yoredeya, in Siman Sadi Dal, the Pesukei Tshuva quotes a Chasam Sofer that's machmir by a kli shlishi if it's yatzal ledesbo. But the Pesukei Tshuva concludes that ein hamorim shalanu noagim lahachmir mikli shlishi ve'elach. Now the minhag is that we're not machmir by a kli shlishi, at least in Yoredeya. Now, all of that's Hilcha Shabbos. So we had our little Hilcha Shabbos review. Now let's come back to Yoredeya. The Rashba has two deos, and the Torah quotes this over here. In Rishon, two deos in Rishonim, whether the Klalim apply to Yoredeya. So half the Rishonim hold that the Bishul and Blios follow the same exact Klalim. The Beis Yosef assumes that. The Beis Yosef assumes that it will be shocking to say otherwise. Right? The Beis Yosef has a... I think you're getting a call. Beis Yosef has a comment. V'dochak lechalik bein bishul le'inyan Shabbos lebishul yisurim. Right? It's a dochak. You can't imagine that you would be mechalik between the one and the other, the Beis Yosef writes. Tosos in Shabbos daf membeis and in Zvachim daf tzadihei seems to assume that there are no blios without bishul, that the two go hand in hand. And that's not only that, now do we... Is that a shita? That's the basis for Rabbeinu Tam that Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel. Because the Gemara is explicit in Zvachim that Iri Kli Rishon is Mavliya. So if Iri Kli Rishon can be Mavliya, that's where Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam in Shabbos, the Balei Atos, Roshbam, Rabbeinu Tam, they have this discussion we spoke about it yesterday. Is Iri going to be Mevashel? Rabbeinu Tam says it has to be. It's Mavliya. So if it's Mavliya, it's Mevashel. It's the same exact Geder. That's the Raya that Rabbeinu Tam has. That's also why the Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Ches, Sifkatan Memhei, says that the Marshal, which we didn't discuss in detail yet, about a Dover Gush, the Marshal's Chiddush about a Dover Gush, that if you have a solid piece of food on a plate, that that solid hot piece of food is still called a Kli Rishon, that Marshal would hold that it's a Kli Rishon Lagabe Shabbos also. Because if the Marshal says it, Lagabe Basmachol Vitaroves, the Marshal is going to say Lagabe Blios, so Mistama Lagabe Shabbos also. Which is a Chiddush. Marshal didn't say it about Shabbos. Marshal is a Marshal in Chulin, it's Yamshal Shalom in Chulin. That a Dover Gush has the ability to be Mavliya. So the Magen Avraham says, okay, it's got to be the same. So Mistama has the ability to be Mavashel as well.
Does anyone explain why the Beis Yosef holds that it's Dochak Lomar? Because the Bach says it befeirish.
Yeah, I mean, no, this is the right. I mean, why does he ignore the other Rishonim? I don't know why he ignores the other Rishonim. The Ramban in Avodah Zarah seems to assume that they're not connected. That you can have blios even when you don't have bishul, like Iroi Kli Rishon. You can it can be mavliya because it's a beferish Gemara, but cannot be mevashel. That's the Gemara in Zvachim. It's kimat mefurish in the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara says that Iroi is balua below bishul, calls it balua below bishul. So that lashon seems to imply that you can have blios without technically having the strict definition of bishul from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective. So the Torah over here in Siman Kufei assumes that the Rashba has a third shita, that Kli Rishon is Mevashel Umavliya entirely, Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel, but is Mavliya a little bit. Mavliya Kedei Klipa. Meaning, fundamentally, that which can't cook also can't be Mavliya. But you don't need cooking in order to affect the Kedei Klipa. Meaning, without bishul is going to affect time transferring through and through. But without bishul, it could still affect the Kedei Klipa. there's a raya to the Ramban from Meliach HaRei Kurosech, right? Meliach HaRei Kurosech is Mavliya, but it's clearly not a problem of Bishul B'Shabbos by Meliach Kurosech. There's another raya that also quoted all here in the Beis Yosef, in the Torah in the Beis Yosef, Chul and Dav Ches, about shechting an animal with a treif, a knife, right? So what does it say? Hashochet besakin shel akum Rav Amar Kolef. You shecht with a treif, a knife, so Rav says you have to peel that area where the knife touched. And the Gemara explains, because Rav holds Beis Hashchitos Roseach. Why do you have to be Kolef? Because the Beis Hashchitos is very hot. What's hotter, a kli sheni or the Beis HaShechita? So the Rashba says it can't be that the Beis HaShechita is hotter than a kli sheni. For sure a kli sheni is hotter than the Beis HaShechita. And yet we still call the Beis HaShechita Roseach. But that's by the way, the rayas that they bring as far as the temperature of Yatzoledes. Because if Beis HaShechita is considered Roseach, right, so it means that the Beis HaShechita is considered hot enough to be Yatzoledes. So they measure the heat of the blood that comes out by the Beis HaShechita, by the animal with the highest body temperature, and say that that's got to be Yatzoledes. Right?
We said that Yad Roseach, meaning there's Yad Nichris, which is the hand boils, and then there's Yatzoledes, which is the hand
recoils. Right.
And then there's this middle level, right? Or
it's not clear it's a middle level. Roseach has been hot enough to transfer tam, which probably means Yatzoledes. It's probably Yatzoledes. So you can argue that the Beis HaShechita is different. Meaning, what's the raya? The raya is the Beis HaShechita is hotter than a klisheni. If Beis HaShechita can affect blios, klisheni's got to affect blios. And if klisheni can affect blios, then blios must have nothing to do with bishul, because klisheni's ain't a mevashal. Right? So that's a raya to the Shechitas Ramban, that the two are not associated with each other. So what's the answer to that raya? So a couple of potential answers to that raya. One is that the Beis HaShechita is the source of the heat. So when it's the source of the heat, it's like a Kli Rishon kind of a heat. Even though Kli Sheni is hotter, Ayein Tosfos, right? It's not all about temperature, it's about the intensity of the heat. Furthermore, the Bir Agra in Sifkatan Yud Gimel points out that the Beis HaShechita there's also Duchka de Sakina. So sometimes pressure of a knife also enhances the ability for tam to transfer. So it turned out that even if you hold klisheni zeinu mevashel, if you cut hot meat with a knife, right? Meaning, let's say you hold that there is this connection between bishul and blios. Let's say you're not like the Ramban, that whatever is mevashel is mevlios. So you say, oh, I got a great kula. Anything that's in a klisheni is not going to be mavliya, it's not going to be a problem. What am I going to do about the raya the Gemara says that the Beis HaShechita is roseach and the Beis HaShechita does have transference of tam? That's duchad sakina, says the Gemara. That's different. So even though normally only that which is mevashal is mavliya, but if you also have Dukha de sakina, it can raise it to the madrega of being mavliya. So then it would turn out that even if you hold bishul and blios are connected to each other, if you have a piece of food that's in a klisheni, but you then cut it with a knife, that's enough to be mavliya as well. La'alach and Shulchan Aruch were divided on this, right? Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis at the end says you should be machmir lechachila, but b'di'avin matur b'lo kliva v'adach v'al masagi. So generally, certainly as a lechachila matter, we try to avoid klisheni. But Makam Hefsid, you could be Mekel that something was in a klisheni that Meikar Adin its mutter. You get the Shaila all the time. This is like Maisim B'chalion. Someone heated up dinner on a plate and they realized, not on a plate, they heated up dinner, they put it on their plate, and then they realized that the dinner that they put on their plate was opposite genders, right? They put a milchig dinner on a fleshig plate, or vice versa. Do they have to throw out the plate? So what are you taina? It was Yatzoledes. Do they have to throw out the plate? So it's klisheni, or should we be machmir about a klisheni? So what does Shulchan Aruch say? Right, we have it right here. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Chom shel kli b'yishay Yatzoledes v'mevashel v'ozir kula. V'chom shel klisheni eino mevashel. V'yesh omrim shegam eino maflit v'lo mevliya. V'yesh omrim demikol makom u'maflit v'mevliya v'ozir kadei klipa. V'ra'oi lachush li'zayir b'davar l'chachila. Aval b'di'avin mutter b'lo klipa v'adach b'yam asagi. So the chachila we should be machmir, says the Shulchan Aruch. But b'di'avin, But the evidence we could be make. So
if it's correct, the Corral set you bought at Bed Bath and Beyond, then just get a new one. And if it's your grandmother's china,
so that's Lamaisa, what it turns out. Meaning if it's like one plate from a cheap set, okay, so throw out the plate. But if it's we once had a Shaila, I remember when Hurricane Sandy happened years ago, so DRS High School was displaced. We had no power and the whole bottom floor was flooded, so we were in a congregation. We split between Yeshiva of South Shore and Congregation Beth Shalom, which is North Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Haines Shul. So we, my chelik of the yeshiva was in Beth Shalom, and Rav Asher Weiss came from Eretz Yisrael to give chizik to the communities here that were hit by Hurricane Sandy. So he spoke to the DRS. So just then, the morning Rav Asher came, Rabbi Aryeh Cohen got a call from someone that the grandmother's china they inherited. They have no idea they have no idea if it was Milchik or Fleishik, or they have no idea if it was kosher or not kosher. They don't know whether it's been years since it's been used. Is there anything to be made though? So I was thinking, well, this is, I guess we'll get to this later, but Hagala Gimel Pamim, some say Klicheris with Hagala Gimel Pamim, plus you have the Chacham Tzvi that if it hasn't been used in a year, that the Blios are dead, that the Blios are all gone. And it's only a cliche. So if you mitzvah all of those together, then it's okay. So, but Rav Asher's here, so go ask Rav Asher. So he asked Rav Asher, Rav Asher said, it's cliche, what are you talking about? That was it. He was completely comfortable with that. Why? Because it was expensive. China have some ruble. He thought, cliche, you're not going to be, I don't know, what if it's Yad Nichmas? What if you put very, very hot things in a cliche? So then I think we're, the minig is to be machler when it's very, very hot. But okay. Now, what we haven't discussed, which I intended to, but I guess we just didn't get to it yet, what we haven't discussed is Dover Gush in the cliche. And I want to discuss some of the details of that interesting comment of the Marshal. And then Bezos Hashem will discuss maybe Eroi for a little bit, Eroi Kli Rishon for a little bit. We already discussed a little bit, so maybe just a little bit more. And then we'll move on to Sif Gimel Bezos Hashem. And we'll try to cover the Sifim a little more quickly, instead of 2 days per Seif. So that will be for Sunday. Okay, have a great day, everybody, and a wonderful Shabbos.